It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. 2 weeks ago, as many of you heard, in response to several random slashings in New York City, we featured a segment on the show about the options an individual has when he or she suspects someone with mental illness close to them is potentially going to commit a violent act. The guest, DJ Jaffe, executive director of mentalillnesspolicy.org, said unless a person has a history of violence, there is very little that can be done until a person with mental illness actually becomes violent. He also said that policies on both the local and federal level often address the issues of the larger U.S. population that suffers from some form of milder mental illness, but often ignores the most severe cases of these various disorders. The segment raised issues that arise in what is known as Thrive NYC, a sweeping plan to reform the city's mental health care system, and the architects of that plan join me now. They are the First Lady of the City of New York, Shirlane McCray, and the Executive Deputy Commissioner of the City's Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, Dr. Gary Belkin. So, Ms. McCray, welcome back to WNYC. Thank you so much for coming on. And Commissioner Belkin, thank you for coming on today.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
And I'll point out that in a statement that we got from City Hall, the First Lady and the DOH Executive Commissioner also disagree with some of the statements made by our guest at the time, DJ Jaffe from mentalillnesspolicy.org. So let me start by playing a clip from that segment. This is a minute of DJ Jaffe, so you can respond to some of the statements that he made with regard to the city's use of what is known as Kendra's Law.
In New York in particular, we have an excellent law specifically for these conditions, and New York City has basically refused to use it. It's called Kendra's Law, and it is for people with a history of serious mental illness that has caused them to become homeless, arrested, suicidal, or incarcerated due to going off treatment. What that law does is it allows courts to order the person to stay in 6 months of mandatory treatment while they're in the community. So it's kind of like commitment, but it's less expensive, less restrictive than inpatient commitment. And in this case, as in almost all cases, the moms know who is mentally ill. The moms are the heroes. But New York is spending money trying to help people learn how to identify the asymptomatic rather than answering the calls from moms who know their kid is ill, know they may become violent and need help.
So First Lady McCray and Commissioner Belkin, do you want to address the first part of DJ Jaffe's statement that the city has basically refused to use Kendra's Law? Dr. Belkin, maybe you want to start?
Sure. First of all, we're here to talk about what we're very excited about, this very comprehensive approach, Thrive NYC, and not debate a particular individual. But I'll take the claim as a jumping off point to do that. The city now, at any given time, has about 1,500 people under monitoring through Kendra's Law. So it's hard to argue that we're not using it or that we don't appreciate its value. It's a very valuable tool. Outpatient commitment really proved its case in New York City in our public hospital system in early trials in the 90s. So we're very committed to it as a tool, and we use it with thousands of people each year. But we have to understand that it's one tool to address this scenario of individuals with mental illness, the few individuals whose mental illness may drive them to acts of violence. It also is a scenario that is too isolated. The idea that the only place to act and help these people is at the end game, when they sort of spiral down into homelessness or these sorts of acts that get a lot of attention, is really a disservice to them. They spiral down in part because of these upstream failures of the system that your prior guest thinks is not worthy of attention. This idea of early access, early action, early screening, easy paths to care, and that's what Thrive NYC is about.
Ms. McCray, what would you add to that? And I think our previous guest would not have said that those are not worthy of attention, but that everything gets attention but the people who are on the verge, who are the most serious and threatening cases.
Well, I think that, what we see the most of are these very extreme cases, which are, you know, the minority of those who suffer from mental illness on the pages of our tabloids. And rightfully, people are afraid and concerned. Families are disrupted. But what we're trying to do with Thrive NYC is really deal with the entire spectrum and prevent people from getting seriously mentally ill and get the treatment that they need. We have a public health crisis on our hands, and we have a lot of education to do. People don't really seem to understand that serious depression, for example, can lead to suicide. We have 8% of our public high school students reporting attempting suicide. We've got 1 in 5 adult New Yorkers with some kind of mental health disorder in any given year. And all of these things can, you know, lead to more serious problems down the line. We want to prevent that. And that's what the Thrive is all about. And we'd like to talk to you some more about it because I think we have an opportunity here to educate folks who are listening to this program.
Right. And we will continue to do that. I want to stay on the Kendra's Law question, though, because that was in response to the slashings taking place in the city and in general, you know, those cases where people go off. And I want to replay one of our callers from that segment, Marina from Bay Ridge, who was concerned because she feels she can't find the right resources to deal with her son, who suffers from mental illness and she feels could become violent, perhaps toward himself. Listen.
My son, who's an adult now, has shown signs at times of wanting to hurt himself or stuff like that, and I don't know what to do. You know, what are my rights in a situation where I would feel like he would be a threat to himself or to the greater population? I mean, where do I go? Who do I speak with? I called NAMI at one point, and no one ever got back to me, which is not good.
What's NAMI?
National Alliance of Mental Illness Advocates.
Uh-huh.
And there's a branch in I think it was in Staten Island. I left a message for them, but I guess maybe they don't have enough funding to follow up on every call.
Yeah.
I don't know what the situation is, but I'm really concerned about things like this because what do I do?
Dr. Belkin, what does she do?
Yeah, so there are many options for her, and I'll go through a few of them, but they underscore again the importance of having a more, as the First Lady said, a full spectrum, full on, soup to nuts approach. So within the Thrive package is developing a couple of things that will help her. One is called NYC Support, which when up and running, will allow all New Yorkers 24/7 to have a resource to help them identify care in their area and to help connect them to that. In the meantime, LifeNet is a resource that often helps people similarly find those resources, 1-800-LifeNet. But in the particular scenario of that call where there's a real worry about imminent danger or violence, where there have been acts of violence and non-compliance with care, where Kendra's Law might apply. Family members can petition for a Kendra order, and we can help guide people towards that. I can give you an email address for your listeners, oca@health.nyc.gov, which is our Office of Consumers Affairs at the Health Department Mental Hygiene Division. We're happy to help people navigate these options.
So then do you disagree with this 15-second response that Mr. Jaffe gave to that caller in response to the statement we just heard?
As ludicrous as it sounds, you can't get treatment until the law requires someone to become dangerous rather than prevent it. So you're going to call the police. My one suggestion is when call the police, tell the police specifically that the person is not armed.
As ludicrous as it sounds, he said, First Lady, you can't get treatment. The law requires someone to become dangerous rather than prevent it.
I think Dr. Belkin's going to handle this.
Yeah, so Kendra's Law has a set of criteria. This is a state law. It's not a city law. And it's either a certain frequency of hospitalizations or committing an act of violence that can be attributable to noncompliance with treatment. And if those can be proven before a judge, then the judge can issue this court order, which, by the way, doesn't have a lot of the power that people attribute to it. It doesn't force treatment. It forces monitoring, that's if someone stays in treatment, and then if they don't, that they could be brought in for an evaluation. So those are the powers of it. All of that doubles down on the importance of having a robust treatment system and a coordinated treatment system, once again. The law isn't the fix. It's really fixing the care system that is ultimately what we keep circling back to.
And the second part of his statement, the suggestion that if you do have to call the police on someone, tell the police specifically that the person is not armed, because we know there have been some horrific incidents in which mentally ill people have been killed, and maybe they could have been handled better. Dr.
Yeah.
Belkin?
So I urge your callers and Mr. Jaffe to actually read Thrive NYC, because it addresses, it's like yes is not a good enough answer. It addresses all the concerns he raises, including really working with NYPD to develop skill sets to manage individuals in situations like this in the community. And there's been an unprecedented commitment by NYPD working with the health department in having their patrol officers cycle through a very innovative training we've developed with them. It involves acting out certain simulated scenarios. We've had users and advocates involved in developing this training. And also within Thrive NYC is an effort to develop co-response teams with clinicians and NYPD officers riding together that we expect to hit the streets in a couple of weeks. So it's yes, yes, yes. In terms of we support a News Kendra's law, we have in Thrive NYC quite a number of innovative things to address and meet the needs of this very specific population of concern, but that we also address, as we must, the larger context of fragmented and under-resourced mental health system. Without addressing as a whole spectrum, we're just going to keep having people spiral into this situation rather than preventing them.
And First Lady, I guess this is where it connects with the bigger Thrive NYC policy agenda. I saw in the New York Times article about you the other day, it said, in McRae's mind, mental health was the key to how the city uses police officers, prisons, hospitals, and schools. Those institutions were being burdened with responsibilities that they were not trained to deal with. Accurate statement?
Accurate statement. I mean, there are so many barriers to people leading full and productive lives because they're not getting the mental health services they need early on. We can change that. We can change the culture, the culture that we live in. We can change the way we deliver services so that people get treatment. What's different now than 50 years ago is that we have the resources, we have the tools that we need to actually treat people so they can live full lives, but we're not using them. And that's what Thrive NYC is about. It's about using these tools that we have, getting information to people out, because people have there's so much stigma, there's so much misinformation out there about mental illness. So we want to train people in mental health first aid so that they know what to do if someone's in a crisis, they know how to respond. Just like if someone's bleeding or someone has a broken bone, you know what to do. We want to make sure that people know what to do if someone's having a panic attack, for example. We've got a lot of work to do in this area, but there really is help out there. I want your listeners to know that all mental health problems are treatable. We just haven't been doing it right, but we're making a very big, ambitious first step to getting there where we need to be.
And Dr. Belkin, another scenario then, we heard the caller and her concern that her son might hurt himself, and she wasn't sure where to turn. And we heard the advice to, if you do have to call the police, make sure to tell them that the person is unarmed. What about like a couple of steps before that, where someone is generally but a little more vaguely concerned that their loved one might commit an act of violence against themselves or others, where maybe Kendra's law wouldn't apply yet? what can they do if they have active concern, but they can't say he did this, she did that, and so though they won't do anything for themselves, somebody should intervene?
Right. So that's where I was mentioning some of the other tools that Thrive NYC is building, such as NYC Support, and even currently now the LifeNet call-in, which can deploy mobile crisis teams, which has various options that it can help families or friends of people try to troubleshoot and get them into care. So there are options out there. Ultimately, it's an individual support system that is often the front lines of getting someone connected to care. And so therefore, we've been trying to build some of these tools in Thrive NYC to help them succeed when someone they know reaches out or shows signs of distress. But I'm glad you took a couple of steps back from that end scenario that gets a lot of attention. Because what we pay less attention to, and the more silent scenarios, you know, what is the impact on the city that over 10% of our mothers, after they give birth, are depressed, which affects them and their child for their lifespan? What's the quiet story of the fact that among the five leading causes of disability in the city, three are mental health and substance use conditions? This is a huge toll every day, day after day, on our city. These illnesses are not just about quality of life. These things kill. They affect whether families stay together, whether violence happens, whether kids graduate. And so while we certainly have to, and as I've been saying, Thrive NYC includes quite a lot of attention to this very serious end of the spectrum, and we must never lose sight of these people's needs. We are similarly responsible for taking care of the real serious effects of the whole range of the spectrum. And many people who use this statistic of the seriously mentally ill as 4% of the population and so forth don't understand that half of that category are people with depression, that the serious mentally ill category is not a diagnostic category, it's a severity category. And so it's somewhat stigmatizing to assume that only schizophrenics are seriously mentally ill, when actually often people with depression are far more disabled than a lot more very high functioning, thank you very much, people with schizophrenia out there. So I think we get a biased view of what sort of rises to the top of public attention of the breadth and depth of the issue that we need to really take on.
Dr. Gary Belkin speaking there, Deputy Commissioner of the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene. And New York City First Lady Shirlane McCray, as we talk about Thrive NYC at various levels of immediacy, let's say, of different conditions and different people's needs. And Edward in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hello, Edward.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking the call. I have a good deal of experience both as an advocate for families with mental illness and as a father. And going specifically to the tape you replayed from the segment I heard last time, where the woman called and couldn't get assistance and mentioned NAMI, and you said, I don't mean to say this negatively, but you said, what's NAMI?
Right.
I belong to NAMI, and they are the largest mental health organization in the country. They're an advocacy group, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm sure Shirlane McCray and Dr. Gary Belkin, who has spoken to NAMI, know what it is. Having said that, the biggest problem we seem to be encountering now is young adults, when they age out of the system, and the parents have no legal leverage with them as far as getting them treatment, getting them admitted, and especially young adults become non-compliant if they ever were compliant quickly. And I have called 911 on behalf of my son. I have been there and called 911 on behalf of other young people in their houses, and it's a great difficulty and it is a revolving door frequently at the ERs. If you're lucky enough to be in a zone where there's a psych ER, you may get some better help in the hospital, but it seems the word imminent is at fault here. A person has to be an imminent threat to self or others.
So what would you like, Edward, from the city or from the system that would help more of the kinds of people who you've described trying to help in the past? And do you think, have you looked at Thrive NYC, and does it take meaningful steps in that direction?
No, I have not seen Thrive NYC yet. Frankly, I will, but I've been so involved in the here and now, an immediate projected future when processes are being put in place. I am in touch with how well or, you know, not so well they work.
So but how can the city most be?
My concern tends to go more towards legal, and again, how in the world are we able to mandate treatment? And I'm not talking about Kendra's law, because I well know that situation. But I'm talking about how do you, you know, what kind of situation exists? Have we explored it elsewhere from other countries where you take a 22-year-old who has come home late at night, might have taken drugs, might not, punches his mother, you call an ER, they can't come in, you call 911. If somebody's lucky, the police take him to an ER rather than a jail. But the main thing is, if the person can hold it together during the interview with a social worker, it doesn't take much talent to do that.
Right. I understand you're walking this very fine line. Dr. Belkin, is there a concrete... First Lady, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'll start. And, you know, it's such a tough situation, and my heart goes out to you. You may know that my daughter was diagnosed with anxiety, depression, and addiction when she was 18. And you know, as an adult, I only had so much power to help her. And so I feel your frustration, and I know that this is a very difficult place to be, because your child is not an adult, really, not able to take care of him or herself at that age. So one of the things that we've come up with is expanding the number of supportive housing units with support services embedded in them. That is one approach to helping those who are aged out of living at home or out of foster care. And we're also expanding the number of home and community-based services. We also have mobile crisis and support teams, and we have to really, there's a wide range of services and supports that we're beginning to launch. There is no one answer, because every family, every child is different, but we do hope that some of these things will begin to address this problem. Dr. Belkin, you want to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think we all can agree that we don't, it's unacceptable that New Yorkers' access to mental health care has to require them to get to a point of being imminently dangerous. And that's precisely why we've taken this really full system, really rethinking how to re-engineer access and early intervention and getting care the path of least resistance as early as possible and as comfortably and culturally resonant as possible. So there is a whole bunch, and I urge the caller and your listeners to really sit through this document. We really picked apart and walked through how can we make schools a better place for access, how can we make communities a better place for access, understanding also that we need to work with insurers and other health providers. We really need to rethink how we have done things so that the most prominent discussion is not at this end game, but how we're succeeding much, much further upstream and give people more options.
Do you want to give us a last word, First Lady McRae, on maybe how quickly and how fully Thrive NYC can go from a blueprint to being a set of policies in effect?
Well, we've already launched many, many of the programs, and more are coming online this year. We're going to NYC support will begin in the fall. And I want most of all for people to know how they can actually take a look at the roadmap to mental health. It's at nyc.gov/thrivenyc. I'll repeat that. That's nyc.gov/thrivenyc. Because there's a lot of information there that can be helpful to each and every family in our city.
First Lady Shalane McRae, Dr. Gary Belkin, thank you so much for coming on these always very sensitive and heartrending topics. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, a veteran Middle East reporter who was actually taken captive by ISIS and is now back. Nicholas Hennin has a new book called Jihad Academy. Stay tuned.